Begging your pardon, sir.
Yes, what is it?
We just had a caller at the back door, sir. He handed me this.
He held out an object he had been worrying in his hands.
He instructed me to show it to Mr. Buckhorn and also give him a message.
Buckhorn's eyes locked on the object Sturbans was holding. It was little Lucian's bowler hat.
What message? What did he say to you?
He said you should come out to the stable right away, unarmed. He said it was time to attend the party his friend Oscar had invited you to out in the swamp. He said if you didn't hurry, he would take the boy to the party in your place.
The woman moved up behind Sturbans. She was quite thin, and the deeply distraught expression pinched her blade of a face even tighter.
It's Lucian he's talking about, ain't it? He's not come in yet from putting away the horse and carriage.
What's this all about?
Buckhorn was already on his feet, buckling his gun belt around his middle.
Sounds like that piece of bayou trash I tangled with on the dock the other day. He said he'd be on the lookout for me, wanting to get even for backing him down the way I did. He must have spotted me and Lucian in the carriage on the way out here and followed us. The only thing to do is give him what he's asking for.
But he said to come unarmed.
Buckhorn double-checked the loads in his Colt.
What he said, what he deserves, and what he's gonna get are all different things, man. You'll have to trust me. I won't let anything happen to your boy.
What do you want us to do?
Somebody go holler out the back door and tell him I'm coming. Then the three of you stay away from any lighted windows. Better yet, come to an inside room like this one. Turn the lights down, just stay put. You're likely to hear some shooting. After you do, don't let anybody back in but me or Lucian.
As he left the house and rounded its far end, heading toward the stable and other outbuildings he'd seen as he and Lucian had rolled into the turnaround circle out front, Buckhorn felt certain of one thing. Too much hesitation, any attempt at trying to reason or negotiate with Oscar and whoever he had with him, anything that might smack to them of scheming or trickery, would only heighten the risk to Lucian. And Buckhorn handing himself over unarmed, meeting their demand, would basically amount to suicide and probably do nothing to save the boy either. The response that held the most hope, risky though it might seem to others, was to retaliate swiftly and unexpectedly, do the last thing Oscar and his bunch would count on. The descent of late evening darkness and the deep shadows thrown by the canopy of leaves high in the numerous trees surrounding the Hayden residence gave Buckhorn good cover. The only problem was the brightness of the boiled white shirt and colorful tie he was wearing. Crouching momentarily in some bushes, he quickly unbuttoned his vest and shirt and discarded them along with the tie. The smoothly muscled dark copper skin of his torso blended almost invisibly with the other shadows. As he edged along the backside of the house, he could hear voices not too far ahead.
Tell that damn breed he better be quick about showing himself, or this little docky hand boy gonna be the one to pay for it. I wanna see him with his hands held up empty and high, and he better make it real sudden.
Melody called from the back door to the kitchen.
He's coming. I tell you, please. Please don't do nothing to my little boy. He's all I got.
That's up to that stinking breed you hiding in there. I'd give him to the count of five to show himself before we start making this baby boy of yours do some squealing.
No, please.
One.
Buckhorn had moved up to where he could see into the stable. One of its double doors was propped open. In a cone of weak light poured down by a lantern hanging from a nail on a post, Lucian was on his knees in front of the post. A tall man stood directly behind him, one hand wrapped around both of the boy's suspender straps, holding them jerked tight between his bony shoulder blades. The man's other hand held the blade of a clasp knife to the side of Lucian's throat. The lantern's illumination angled across the tall man's chest, leaving his shoulders and face lost in shadows.
Go!
The man with the knife wasn't the one doing the talking. It was Oscar's voice, like Buckhorn had judged from the beginning, but it was coming from somewhere outside the lantern light. Buckhorn peered intently, trying to penetrate the deeper shadows. He thought he saw a murky trace of movement about 4 feet beyond where Lucian knelt. That could be where Oscar was, if there were only two men involved. The elongated skunk by the post certainly wasn't the second, much shorter mule herder who'd been with Oscar the other day. Was he lurking somewhere in the stable too, making it three men? Or was Oscar simply operating with another partner?
Tree!
Buckhorn drew his Colt, took careful aim just above the downward sloping edge of the cone of light where he calculated the center of the tall man's chest to be, and pulled the trigger. What he could see of the tall man's body jerked and fell back into the shadows, releasing his grip on the boy's suspenders. The knife in his other hand dropped from lifeless fingers. A fraction of a second later, Buckhorn shattered the lantern, plunging everything into sudden blackness.
Dog Lucien! Run for cover!
With no light to judge by, he could only hope the boy obeyed. The muzzle flashes of whoever was shooting gave momentary bursts of illumination, offering a target to pour more lead at, even though that meant continuing to mark his own position.
Stay low, Lucien!
It sounded to Buckhorn that he'd scored a meaningful hit. As he thumbed in fresh loads, he became aware that the lantern he'd blasted apart had sprinkled enough sparks into its own spilled fuel for the mixture to reignite. Flames quickly spread into the loose straw scattered across the stable floor, fanning wide and crawling up the post from which the lantern had originally hung. Snapping shut the loading gate of his Colt, Buckhorn moved forward, still with caution. An unplanned fire was always cause for concern, but in this case, for a brief time, it also had the benefit of reintroducing some illumination to the inside of the stable. In the flickering glow, the sprawled shapes of the two men Buckhorn had put down became visible. Both, he was relieved to see, lay motionless. The bulky form of the second one he'd shot, the one who'd begun firing back at him, was unmistakably that of Oscar Turlick.
Where's the boy?
The pulsing light thrown by the spreading flames reached a little wider, and Buckhorn made out a third sprawled form, a very slight one, with feet encased in oversized shoes. Buckhorn threw caution to the wind and ran forward, holstering his gun. He skidded to his knees beside the boy and scooped one arm under his shoulder, lifting his upper body gently.
Lucien. Lucien.
The only response he got was the crackle and heat as the flames crept closer. Startlingly, he became aware of another presence. Looking up in the eerie pulse of the firelight, he saw a man looming over him with a raised pitchfork ready to strike. Buckhorn recognized the man as the other mule herder from the river dock. Even as fast on the draw as he was, he had no chance of bringing his Colt into play before he was impaled on the gleaming tines. The man with the pitchfork hurtled backwards as a gaping red hole blossomed in the center of his forehead. Twisting around, Buckhorn saw Andrew Hayden and Sturbins standing on the edge of the shadows at the corner of the house opposite the one he had come around. Sturbins was planted tall and rigid, with a long musket held at the ready. Slightly ahead of him, Hayden leaned slightly to his right, supported by his crutch, left arm still extended forward, Colt Navy revolver gripped in his fist, a worm of smoke curling up out of its muzzle. Before anyone could say anything, the kitchen door slapped open wide, and Melody burst out.
My boy. Is he?
Buckhorn stood up with Lucien in his arms and moved away from the spreading fire toward the anxious mother.
He's breathing good and strong. He got knocked out, but I think he's going to be okay.
Closer to the house, Buckhorn laid the boy down on the soft grass where his mother could fuss over him. He turned to face Hayden and Sturbins as they came walking over.
Not that I'm complaining, mind you. But none of you take orders very good about staying clear of the fray, do you?
Hayden pinned him with a steely gaze.
I'm a former officer in the Confederate Army, sir. I don't take orders. I give them. I never hid from a skirmish in my life and wasn't about to start tonight. Especially not in the backyard of my very own home.